Welcome to today's episode of the Zach Adams Effect, featuring Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower, along with the co-host of this program, Todd Pittner. The three of us together delving into what's happening in AI and tech. Welcome, Zach. It's always great to have you on here. What's on your mind?
Wow, what an incredible week in AI technology. This has been one of the best weeks that we have ever had, at least the most exciting and terrifying, as AI becomes commoditized in a way, as all of these different companies are producing models that are equivalent to the second tier Anthropic. What was a frontier model just a month ago with Opus 4.8?
Right.
You've got Grok, you've got Qwen, you've got DeepSeek R1, you've got GLM 5.2. They're all nipping at the heels of these frontier models with 4.8 Opus 4.8 class AI, and some of them even claiming that they're about the same class as Fable 5. Now, Fable 5, as you remember, was this AI model that was released late last month, and was available for a full 72 hours before the Trump administration issued essentially what was a recall, and that they took the market, or they took the model off the market because it was too dangerous, because it hacked every single one of the government systems within hours. Anthropic retracted that model. They nerfed it with a project called Glasswing and then re-released it on July 1st. It was available until July 7th, and then OpenAI came out and said that their new model, GPT 5.6, was actually going to be able to beat Fable 5. Then on July 7th, Anthropic came out and said that they were extending the use of Fable 5 through July 12th. Now, that was in direct relation to this GPT 5.6 announcement. It happened on Tuesday that they announced this. But it seems that OpenAI kind of did a head fake. They said that it was going to be available on Tuesday, but it turned out that it was only made available to preview partners. And they said that it was going to be available today, though that hasn't quite happened yet. Okay. We're all sort of waiting on pins and needles, waiting for this GPT 5.6 to become generally available, because it's a fantastic model and OpenAI's got a very generous usage tier. So you can use the model for about twice as long as the Anthropic models before you exhaust your weekly credits.
Okay, real quick question here. Some of these models, I'm curious about what you've had a chance to actually use and your assessment of what's working and what's not working, because as you know, some models are following, you know, benchmarking or just being trained for the benchmarks to try to score high, but in real world use, they may not be as good. So what have you actually had a chance to get your hands on so far that you're impressed with wave here?
Let me just give you a problem. Okay. So I've got this thing, it's a concept called auto research. And what it does is that you take one of these microcontrollers and you bridge a pin. You'll see that there's soldering marks on here. And what happens is that the AI will program the chip by toggling the outputs and reading the inputs. Now, I had a very hard problem, pretty much the final boss, and I had thrown Opus at it and it just was not making any progress for about 12 hours. Then once I figured out how to get access to Fable 5, I switched the task from Opus 4.8 to Fable 5. Fable 5 nailed the whole thing in 2 hours.
Wow.
And fixed 8 bugs on the way out. And so in this real world thing, I would say that it's about, you know, like the benchmarks show that it's just like a little bit better than the other models. From what I see, it's about 8 times better than the previous models. Like, it's able to just know what to do. It's almost like a heat-seeking bomb that's able to go in, figure out what the problem is, figure out the context, and just go directly to the goal. Like, it's with these older models, what I'm doing is I'm almost like playing like defense. Like, I'm guiding the solution, the AI, to go to the solution state. And I'm sitting there basically babysitting these older models. This new model is the first time that I've actually been bored, because what happens is that I give it a task. I don't even have to define the task that well. I just basically point and go in this direction, figure it out. And it nails it like every single time. I haven't had a time where it got lost on a side quest and went off in a direction and then halted, not completing the goal. Like, this thing is so good that I don't even have to do this thing called goal, which makes the end task sticky and keeps the model's attention on the goal by periodically refreshing the model with what it's supposed to do. This new model doesn't need to be babysit. You tell it exactly what you want, and it remembers it and keeps focus on attention and will do the entire thing bottom to top over a long horizon.
Wow.
Now, for these older models, I used to, like, I had this like a 5.5. I just killed a running task that was running for the last 16 hours, right? And it goes all over the place, right? It gets sidetracked. It goes on side quests.
and it's burning tokens the whole time.
burning tokens right. The entire time. This new model just goes directly to it. It understands what you say. You don't even have to do goal. It just pays attention to what it is that you're saying and then does it. And right now we went from like, okay, this is a great co-pilot, you know, that helps you fly the plane. This is the first time where the model's like, hey, buddy, I got this. Go ahead and take a seat in the back, read a newspaper, go to sleep, do whatever you want to do.
Wow.
Come back in a couple hours and I'm going to have it done.
So this is like the coding equivalent of Tesla's full self-driving. It's like, you don't even really need to drive anymore. Todd, I mean, I think the day is coming, Todd, when a lot of what our colleagues do in the world is completely going to be replaced. What do you think?
It seems like it. Yeah. Yeah. And Zach, you know, an AI model release now is more like, has more geopolitical choreography than a NATO summit. is GPT 5.6 the moment where frontier AI releases stop being normal product launches and start looking like semi-regulated national security events?
Oh man, great question. You know, this, you know, with the Trump administration pulling access to Fable 5, GPT 5.6 is essentially undergoing the same national security review. And, you know, I've been predicting that the United States was going to build a great firewall of America against these Chinese models. But what was really interesting is what happened yesterday. The Chinese themselves came out and said they're going to have a reciprocal export ban on their frontier models so that they won't come into the United States, which saves the United States from having to build a firewall up at all. Well, I mean, I still think they're going to do it because the lesser models are going to say narratives that disagree with the American models. But the Chinese are not even going to release the models in America or anywhere else. They're going to keep them internal for their own national development because they are now going to be classified as national security assets.
Yeah.
And right now, the debate within China is that they don't want to hamstring themselves. They want to have this global influence with their models, but they don't want to let the cat out of the bag and give other nation states the same leverage that they have with their advanced frontier Chinese models.
So, Zach, and you sent me this link, I'm showing it on my screen, the Hugging Bay, huggingbay.xyz is now live. This is, I mean, you and I both predicted this, Zach, that there would be an alternative ecosystem for accessing models that are banned, because we are both anticipating that the U.S. government will ban frontier Chinese models from Hugging Face or from perhaps API providers such as OpenRouter. Give us your thoughts on where you think this is going, and will you know, people like us who are using these models in good faith, will we be totally blocked, or will we find workarounds to get our hands on the models we want to use?
Look, man, this whole AI thing, this whole technology stack has no brakes. There doesn't seem to be any limit to what's called reinforcement learning. It just keeps on getting better and better and better, and it's not slowing down. And what we're seeing is that it takes about 2 years for these models to get cloned with open source alternatives that you can run at home, which means that, you know, by 2028, what we're going to see is a Fable 5 model that will be able to be run on consumer hardware. Google just had a paper last month that said that they're able to hack off one of the largest pieces of memory requirements for these models, which is their encoder system. And through technical reasons, they're able to do that, which is going to reduce these model requirements by a third. Now, these models are all very, very RAM heavy, which is the reason why there's a global RAM shortage right now. And it's very, very hard to even buy a PC because the main seller of memory is no longer available for consumer grade memory sticks.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is that you had John Carmack, the creator of the Doom series of id Software. He came out with an explosive tweet that basically said that the whole concept that we even need like RAM, high speed memory, high HBV, HBM, which is high bandwidth memory, doesn't even need to exist. He said, all of the memory requirements are sequential. They're not random, which is what random access memory means. It's optimized for random access, where flash has higher performance characteristics if you just do it in sequential order. What he said is that this entire memory access pattern of these models is linear, and it maps to this flash memory. Now, this flash memory is the stuff that makes up your hard drive, these 2 terabyte drives. And so what he's actually saying is that, hey, look, we can skip the whole 128, megabytes of DDR5 RAM. We can go to a 1 terabyte high-speed flash memory drive, which means that you're going to be able to run these Fable 5, models, which are trillion-plus parameter models, on consumer-grade hardware.
Wow.
So wait a minute, Zach. That's really fascinating to hear, but isn't the actual bandwidth, the speed of the transfer of content of that, that's going to be the limiting factor, right? Because a lot of the high bandwidth memory, very, very fast, but when you get into, a SATA hard drive or even a NVMe, M.2 NVMe is much slower than the RAM to the CPU, isn't it? So how is that going to be overcome so we get more tokens?
Right.
Because and I can't function on like 5 tokens a second, right? No way.
Right. So there's this balancing act that hard drives and RAM does, where you don't really want to have a hard drive that's way faster than the rest of the system can deal with the memory. And the thing is that with the capacity, you get an increase in parallelism, right? So it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. If you have a half terabyte drive, you've got 4 of them, you're gonna be able to go 4 times the speed to read the entire thing. And so this parallelism goes down to the actual chips themselves. And so all they have to do is they have to make, more chips that are smaller in capacity, but have the same bus bandwidth for the entire chip. Now you stack a whole bunch of them, and now you can get massive parallel reads in sequential access patterns that are able to feed these models. And the thing is that, with memory, it's a hierarchy, right? Like, you don't have to fit the entire model at a time. This is what the mixture of experts proved to us, is that you can have a router internal to the memory. It takes your request. It figures out what subsection of the, 1 trillion parameter model it needs to activate and sends it to that, essentially, a localized expert within the model.
Right.
The only thing that you need is that you need to be able to, load up any section of that model with a blazing speed. And what he's saying is that, look, we can do this with flash. And
wow.
that looks like that's where we're going to head. So it's like people are like, well, this when's it going to plateau? We don't really see a plateau right now.
Yeah,
it looks like
exactly.
We're going to go through a phase of unhobbling as it just keeps on getting faster and faster and better. And so, yes, this pirate bay, but for these models, like these are going to host fable-like, frontier models in the next year or so. And what's going to happen is the government's just going to have to force to act. Like they can't not act. You know, these things are able to generate bioterrorism. As much as I would like to have free speech everywhere, there's a contradiction. Do you want to have free speech and have somebody be able to create, a virus, like a COVID-like virus, but one that's got, the death characteristics of Ebola? I don't think so.
Yeah, but we already have the DOD doing that. I mean,
right.
You know, the government's already doing that and releasing it on the world. So my argument would be, I still support freedom of speech. You know what I mean? I mean, the government's already doing it, but I hear what you're saying. They're going to crack down on it in some, very harsh ways. And they're going to outlaw models, and they're going to arrest and imprison people for having open weights on their hard drives.
Correct. And what's going to have to happen is that you're going to have to get licensed. I mean, that's
right.
The path that I see is that you're going to have a license to be able to access these paths.
Oh man.
Models and be able to execute them. And if you're found as an unlicensed model holder, you're going to go to jail because that's what they're going to have to do. That's going to be the most extreme form of it. I think what's coming before that is that they're going to start having massive restrictions on computer usage, right? Like you already see this with Windows. Windows is essentially spyware that's going to report naughty behavior to the authorities. And the last sort of part of this that doesn't, where the surveillance doesn't exist is within Linux. And so right now what you see is you see this infiltration of woke individuals, furries, transsexuals. It's kind of hilarious how fast it's happening with the in Ubuntu and Fedora spaces, NixOS and others. And what I see right now is that they're infiltrating these cultists in there because they plan to make radical changes in these free operating systems, because these free operating systems right now can't be controlled. And that's by design. And so in order for, to make everybody safe and not have the elites killed by some novel virus created by a mad scientist in his basement running a frontier model, they're going to have to lock everything down. And they're going to have to start doing it quickly. So my hypothesis, my theory is that we're going to see some of the most rapid lockdowns and clampdowns in the most undemocratic way possible that we've never seen before. Like it's been going fast before. I believe that it's going to be going into turbocharge. And the better that these models get, the faster the clampdowns on freedom and expression are going to occur.
Huh. Wow. So computing lockdowns is what's coming. Todd, I mean, we all lived through COVID with, all the forced physical lockdowns. Can you imagine if they outlaw your Linux, your local Linux? I mean, that could be coming.
Yeah, I can imagine it. The Druid Babylonian bastards. Zach, if frontier models increasingly require government coordination before release, who actually controls the roadmap? Is it the company, the market, or the state now?
Look, as somebody that has been with inside of Google and discovered that they were basically a military proxy.
Yeah.
Look, I don't have, like, it's, these companies are a hybrid. There's an element which it's kind of a free market. There is innovation. And then there's a part of it where there's some sort of intelligence embedded within these companies, directing them, to what they need to do. There does seem to be a semblance that they do want individuals that are notable to be getting these models for free, right? So for example, Anthropic, which, by the way, I've been a recipient of this sponsorship. Well, they don't sponsor me, but they give me free access to the models to develop open source code. I'm a very prolific open source contributor. And what happens is that they're increasing the generosity of this program. They're expanding it. And so what's happening is that a lot of these people that don't have the money to afford to do to buy these models in order to do these open source programs are now being able to get access to Fable 5 and develop these, you know, these the software that's going to have a boost, a general boost throughout the information economy. Because as you know, most of the stuff within software is running on top of the free contributions of individual contributors. And so what you see right now is you see Anthropic giving these powerful models away for free. I believe that the government may have asked them to do this. I'm not entirely sure. I know that China, the CCP, does the exact same thing. They go to companies and they say, hey, we know that you're competitors, but you're going to now cooperate. And whether it's that or whether it's Anthropic trying to scare the big enterprises into like buying tokens from them because, you know, little guys like me who's going to give it away for free are now like creating equivalent programs that may be even better is yet to be seen. But I believe that, you know, there is a military hand. I don't think the elites are so dumb as to play free market economics with something that's more powerful than the nuclear bomb.
Wow. Wow. Okay, Zach. We're going to have to wrap it up here for today, but I know you're going to be joining us again next week for the next episode. Let me give out your website here. It's zachvoorhees.com. And also your handle on X is Perpetual Maniac, correct?
Yep. And let me also show my book. I've got Google Leaks, you know, a whistleblower's expose on big tech censorship.
Yeah, show us your book.
It's been doing really well. GoogleLeaksBook.com.
Okay.
I can possibly switch it to there or your guys can do it. But yeah, it's 4.8 stars on Amazon. Everyone really likes it. It's got specially colored pages inside. You can see the preview in there of what I saw, and it will blow your mind.
Amazing.
On what's in there. So thank you for having me on again.
All right. Thank you, Zach. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us. And we'll keep in touch because I'm sure the next week is also going to be exciting and filled with additional announcements. So we'll talk again soon.
Oh, I can't wait. All right.
Thank you, Zach.
Cheers.
All right. And Todd, so there we go. That's our segment with Zach for today. So Great. Thank you all for watching. Be sure to check out more of these episodes at decentralize.tv. And for Todd Pittner and myself, we both thank you for watching today. Take care.
Cheers.
Join the official discussion channel for this show on Telegram at t.me/decentralizedTV, where you can ask questions or offer suggestions of who we should interview next. Also, be sure to subscribe to the email newsletter on decentralized.tv, where you'll be alerted about one day in advance of each new upcoming episode before it gets published. On decentralized.tv, you'll also find links to our video channels and social media channels across all platforms, including Brighteon, Rumble, BitChute, Twitter, Truth Social, and more. Check it all out at decentralized.tv.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab-tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.